We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 23rd, 2024, and we are here for your AEW Dynamite review. Earlier today, we had the hump where we answered a bunch of your questions and broke news on a WWE lawsuit revolving around the Ring Boy scandal from the late 80s, early 90s. So a lot of information on there about that. But if you want to get more questions in, you want to get more statements in, you want them answered on this show, get your super chats and humper chats in. Whether you're watching on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch, on X, any number of X accounts that we stream from, you can go to humperchats.com and get your questions in. Or if you're watching here on YouTube, you can go and send a super chat, but leave a thumbs up on the video. If you see us on Twitter, retweet the little stream video. We would greatly appreciate that. That helps us out an awful lot. We have cultivated a huge audience over there. A reminder, Fightful, as well as myself, are now on Threads and Blue Sky, I believe it's called. So check that out. But as always, we are over on FightfulSelect.com. $5 a month, $54 a year. We break a bunch of exclusive news. We had details on last night's NXT, why, how it ended so early, and what happened there. And then we had details on the AEW Shockwave talks, negotiations, and the like, and a whole lot more to come on FightfulSelect.com. Podcast, Discord, a lot of stuff, including a couple of shows that this fella hosts. It's Alex Palowski. Alex, how you doing?
If you had asked me that about a minute before the final shot of the show, I would have said, man, I'm terrible. But yeah. I am all in on Orange Cassidy as Peter Parker with Chuck Taylor as Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
I'm all in on that story. So we'll see where everything else goes. But the rest of the show to me left quite a lot to be desired.
Oh, man. Let's go ahead and get into it. A reminder, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Our wonderful moderator, Luis, will take down your super chats and humper chats. We are going to save... Actually, we'll talk about what opened up the show, which is Jon Moxley speaking. And I kind of really like this opening up Dynamite every week. It's Jon Moxley sort of giving a State of the Union that not enough people he feels are heeding his advice, are sort of staying out of his way as he's requested, Alex.
Yeah. I did like this a lot. Unfortunately, for me, the audio mix was such that I could barely hear him and the music was so much louder.
It was so bad. I don't know who does that.
I don't
submits
know
it and says, yeah, we're good to go, man.
No, like this is one of the things I really liked about Collision was the Orange Cassidy. Like, yeah, I'm not a leader. I'm just not that guy. But I knew that he said that because I watched Collision. If I didn't, I would have had no idea what he said because the music was so much louder than that. You just can't do that on a national cable TV show.
And we will circle back to this, but later on in the show, Chuck Taylor, who, you know, has been through it with Orange Cassidy, mm-hmm. said, you need to step up. You need to be a leader. Yeah. This was one of the things that I felt like, man, this in a vacuum, this angle, this thing, it mm-hmm. tied in with the main event as well, ended up playing very well. And while there are definitely a number of things on this show that I liked, there was something that maybe didn't quite glue it together. Because you're going to hear me say that I liked an awful lot of things on this show, but we'll just let it unfold. We got Hangman Page cutting a promo. Mm-hmm. He's talking about beating up Austin Gunn. Mm-hmm. Colton attacks, Jay White attacks, and Lenny says, I see people saying Dynamite is getting too talky at the beginning, especially. I don't mind it personally, seeing as it sets up scenes, but I do see what people are saying. It smacks of poor planning. Do you think it's maybe a failure to evolve past the four pay-per-view model? That's a good question, and I can tell you this. For a long time, it was Warner Brothers that like wanted to start with a match. Like they liked that. And I liked it because it felt different. It felt so different from what we usually saw on WWE for years and years. And I kind of feel like AEW should get back to it because we already have the talking with Jon Moxley. If that's going to be a recurring thing, I would like for them to get right into a match, specifically a match that they have already promoted.
Because could you have just flipped the Shelton and Sammy match and this particular promo?
There you go.
I mean, I don't know exactly what happened after the Shelton and Sammy match. You don't want to have two talkies back to back, but like, if you had started out with Shelton and Sammy, which was a really great match and a lot of fun, and something that we had been anticipating, then especially after last week's Dynamite, seeing more Shelton Benjamin, I think that maybe that starts off the night on a better note. I did like the Adam Page and Jay White stuff. I just feel like it's hard to, it used to be, man. Dynamite starts, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? What that means is we're starting off with a really hot match.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
You know what I would like to see out of Hangman is him to individually take out every single person in Bang Bang Gang with what appears to be the same injury that Switchblade was taken out with.
Sure.
That way, once you get to full gear again, it's just them against one another. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of how it should be anyway. Right now, you've got Hangman, who is clearly the heel in the situation, but you got a 3-4-on-1 mm-hmm. advantage there. So it's hard for me, you know, to feel that bad for Switchblade or anybody else. They're doing a very good job of making Switchblade seem important, though. And that's what they need to do. They had to rehabilitate him.
Yes, for sure.
And absence sometimes is the catalyst for that restart.
Yeah. There's some really cool stuff they're doing with pacing, because you have to pace some people because, you know, Jay White's back and we want to push him, but we can't immediately have him get a title match because he's not winning right now. So we got to keep him busy with stuff. And Paige not willing to let this thing go with Jay White when Jay White is really ready to move on to Christian, but Christian having something to do so that by the time Jay White's done with Hangman Page, Christian's ready to do a thing with Jay White. And when Jay White's done with that, maybe then we're ready to move on to a title match. And the whole time, because I believe fervently in Jay White, Hangman Page, and Christian, that I know that will be very compelling, even if there aren't titles involved. I know that they'll make that work. Sometimes it just feels like we're treading water. But Jay White specifically needs to deal with Hangman Page fully before he can move on to a guy he has said, I'm coming for you because you put me out for 2 months. He needs to deal with those things before he can get the title match. When you create that need for a character to deal with stuff, it actually makes it make sense why he's not just going for the title right away.
A lot of people worried about Hangman Page and you know if he's okay and stuff. I'm working to find that out, but I feel like AEW, it's so funny because like when AEW started, they were so good at making baby faces and they weren't the best at making heels. And WWE was the opposite. They could make some decent heels even in their worst periods.
Yeah.
But they couldn't make a likable babyface because they booked them all to be idiots. Now WWE has an incredible strength of building baby faces, and AEW has backed themselves into where it feels like everybody's this shade of gray. Everybody is this heel or something like that, because everybody has made that turn.
Right.
There aren't that many pure characters in that sense. We have Shelton Benjamin defeating Sammy Guevara. Now, there were a lot of talking points about this, and let me tell you, there was nobody more excited to lose to Shelton Benjamin than Sammy Guevara. He was very excited to make this happen.
Yeah.
And I thought they had a solid match. Now, it didn't blow me out of the water like last week's did.
No.
But there were some spots in it that I just
Starting
loved.
Out, I've never seen anybody like do a vertical suplex. He just threw him straight up. I've never seen anybody do a release suplex where the guy goes up and then down before. That was really cool. All the stuff they did on the apron was great. And like the full circle of, it used to be that I was the young guy who jumped across the ring and got super kicked out of the air. And now I have become the master. And now I will super kick young guys out of the air because I am Shelton Benjamin and I've become the instructor now. I loved the finish with that giant super kick. And I really enjoy MVP on the outside saying, stop playing with your food. I love that. I love that from MVP.
It's a manager managing. It's a manager telling him your ego is getting the best of you. JP says MVP standing in the way of Sammy's dive to the outside was great heel work. He got the ref yelling, acted like he didn't realize he was there standing, loving him and Shelton. I love it too. Listen, the callback to the Shawn Michaels spot where Sammy jumped off the top rope and Shelton's, listen, they're calling it a thrust kick. It is a stiff ass kick.
Yeah.
My God, it's a stiff one. I am always going to be in favor of Shelton Benjamin winning a match. And also considering that they are building towards this match next week, you had to get Shelton some wins.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Just bring him in and have him lose to Swerve immediately, which he is going to do. He's going to lose to Swerve. Right. No, you have him come in. You have him beat a guy from Bobby Lashley's past. Mm-hmm. You have him beat a guy who has a decorated past in AEW, even if he isn't at his peak from a booking standpoint right now. I think it was a really smart way to bring him in. And people wanted to see Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
People have an affection towards this man, and I think he's done a really great job so far. Of course, he's not going to do the same things that he did 20 years ago. At this point, I think that thrust kick should be his finish instead of the T-bone. I've never liked the T-bone exploder.
The T-bone exploder, like a power slam thing that he does?
Yeah, they always called it one or the other, and it was neither. Mm-hmm. It was completely different.
Yeah,
but
I think it's impressive.
SRS is an affection for Shelton. I think we established that last week.
We have established that. I've always found it impressive because a power slam from a standing position just feels like it shouldn't be possible. When the guy is running at you off the ropes, yes, a power slam, sure, but just being able to do it from a standing position seems really impressive. So I've always liked it, but it doesn't necessarily need to be his finish. But I like it a lot.
We got people asking him to use pay dirt again. At this point of his life, what I would not ask Shelton Benjamin to do at 49, 50 is leap all the way up in the air and just slam himself into the ground.
Maybe not.
Let me tell you, I did that off a bump for Hornswoggle, and it was the worst bump I've taken since I've wrestled again. So I wouldn't ask him to do it at 49. Dante says, also, AEW Fright Night with no Abaddon. I mean, maybe she'll pop up backstage, but people have been asking me about Danhausen, and I'm like, well, if you don't see him during this time of the year, I don't know if you'll see him again personally.
Yeah.
Later in the night, Ricochet issues an open challenge for Rampage, which, you know, I'm fine with that. Put the guy on TV.
Yeah.
Do that. I mean, they filmed it tonight, so obviously
they're
doing that. But, Alex, we are about to look at a landscape. As Fightful Selected reported tonight, there is no deal for Shockwave as of yet. And right now, we are looking at Battle of the Belts, which is completely pointless going away.
Like that was for a certain number of shows, right? And then eventually those will run out unless they've renewed it.
I believe
like
so.
It's not you know, it's not going to stick around forever. Thank God.
Rampage is effectively wrapped up. Although WBD people there said, well, yeah, they can still shop it elsewhere. Like they,
right.
They won't, you know, fill out AEW's death certificate for Rampage. It's just, they're like, well, we got the content that we wanted. We paid them a lot more money for it. So we are going to look at a much more condensed AEW schedule, at least as things stand, for January. How are you feeling about that? I mean, Rampage is, quite frankly, missable. There's some good action on there. Yeah. For a while it became like the CMLL and New Japan guys show up show, and it was just fun to watch as a wrestling show.
Rampage can be a lot of fun on certain episodes when they put some stuff on it you wouldn't expect. And it's an hour long. It's so digestible. And they figure out a way to fit five matches in an hour. And it's a lot of fun. And a lot of times the best women's match of the week will be the one that's on Rampage because they'll give it time. Like it can be a lot of fun, but it is superfluous. If AEW Rampage was AEW Dark and it was on YouTube, it'd be the same stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And it'd probably cultivate a better audience as a result of that. Too. Because the number of people that I see that miss AEW Dark, I mean, I felt like it was a much more necessary show than Rampage. And Rampage was a show that WBD wanted them to do. And then Collision was a show that AEW wanted to do.
Right.
Either way, MVP meets him, gives him a business card. He says, new company, new territory, let's start fresh. MVP's doing some recruiting.
Yeah. I like that he's passing out enough that you know that at least one of them will join, but we don't know which one. And I like that they're not doing people being like, no, I will never join you right away. Yeah. Like Ricochet being like, I don't know, but there's a chance he might consider it and decide to. So I like that there's some possibilities there.
And not only that, it adds a lot more to it because nobody's just willing to tear it up and throw it away because they understand this could be a big career move for them. And I think that adds an awful lot.
I like that he's doing all this recruiting before Lashley is there.
Yes.
Because once Lashley joins the thing, it's like, well, yeah, I should probably decide to be with Lashley instead of against him. But I like that he's trying to round out the whole thing. When Lashley shows up, all of a sudden now it's a real faction.
I think it's coming before Full Gear too, but also there is like the duality of it where I kind of only want him to give business cards to people that he considers, but it is a very cool like $1 Million Man Ted DiBiase thing. Yeah. After Shelton or Lashley beat somebody, you drop them a business card, or like shove it in their mouth or something. I'm like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
that's so good. Speaking of changes that I like, I felt like Brian Cage got the rug pulled out from under him last year when they inexplicably put Big Bill with Ricky Starks, because I saw Big Bill with Brian Cage and I was like, that's a team I want. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Lance Archer is a nice plan B for that. And what a phenomenal finisher they have.
Yeah,
a power bomb choke slam.
Great.
Listen, I'm all for it. This didn't take up any time. It got a couple of guys wins, and we saw them do a cool move. Right. I'm all on board with this.
Like the thing that you got to do if you are going to go through with putting the tag titles on a babyface, fun time little guy team, which basically is what Private Party is, you want to, in the meantime, while you're doing all of that setup, be building big guys, a big tag team with a win streak. Let's figure out if we can get Brian Cage and Lance Archer like 7 wins in a row. And then when Private Party becomes the champions, the first guys that come out of the woodwork are the guys who haven't lost yet, who are twice their size. And then we have something to root for this young tag team to try and overcome immediately. I think that could be a really fun thing. The thing that is very funny to me is like Brian Cage and Lance Archer are both brand new guys to the Don Callis faction, who's got a whole bunch of other stuff to be doing right now. And currently Brian Cage is a singles ROH champion. So like to be like, oh, we're building a tag team for of him and Lance Archer in AEW, but in ROH he's a singles guy. Everything feels kind of convoluted, but I'm never gonna say no to watching that chokeslam powerbomb combination.
I love it. I love it. Cody Anderson says Abaddon is likely facing Athena on ROH Halloween night. They've been teasing that match for a while. Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. Meet Normus says Team Murder Machine for the tag titles, please. Listen.
Murder Machine's a great name for the tag team.
It is. It is a great, great name.
Yeah.
Great name. Oh, man. So, the good and the bad. The bad, how long this Kyle Fletcher promo was. It was very long.
It was long.
The good. I like that he did not get rattled. He did not get shaken.
No, he didn't. No.
He did not get affected. And like anybody that heard him cut promos before he came to AEW knew that he would not have a problem doing this. But when you come to AEW and you don't have like a WWE background, there's just a lot of people that have no idea you can cut promos. He's been able to cut promos for a very long time. This could have been much shorter. Lord Peter says instead of having him shave his head, he should have shaved 5 minutes off this segment. Yeah. And JP says Kyle Fletcher's promo was really good. His work with the crowd reactions was great. I think he did a phenomenal job. I think they could have condensed it. Ultimately, this story is a great non-title story because it is guy who says, I'm in your shadow and I'm not going to allow myself to be there. It's not going to be a I've been in your shadow for years thing. It's a I see where this is going and it ain't happening anymore. And not only that, people say I even look like you, not anymore. And he shaves his head.
Right. I really didn't like, not only I went from being the next big thing to being the next Will Ospreay. Because apparently the big thing can't be anything better than you. So I like that there's this little brother syndrome with him that everyone keeps telling me that I'm not as good as you. And maybe I'll be as good as you are right now someday, but I'm better than you right now. I'm going to prove it. And I'm sick and tired of people comparing me to you. So in a bit of a psychopathic break, he decides he's going to shave his head in the middle of the ring and just scream, I'm nothing like you, over and over again. I think all of this was well done. I was really, really impressed with how he handled the crowd. Wrap it up. And like you don't wrap it up is a specific thing. Like this is going too long. Shut the F up is a thing people get after 15 seconds of talking sometimes. Wrap it up is specific. For him to have a specific ad lib, this man standing next to me bought me all the TV time I want, so you will listen to every word I say. And doing that while turning around and talking to the guys behind him was really cool and a very interesting way of handling the hecklers that I hadn't seen before. All that being said, you could have shaved off 3 or 4 minutes and I don't think anybody would complain. Like he could have gotten all that out. He did say a few things too many times. But I agree with his motivations. Those are like good ones for this guy to have. And it's something that can sustain a long feud with Will Ospreay. I also love him saying, you're hurt. I know how bad your herniated discs are. Nobody else. You told me and nobody else. So I need you to show up next week, 11 days after I did this to you, and I'll put you in the hospital for good this time. Like, that's some really, really good heel stuff.
Tom LaValle says, Team Murder Hawk Machines. And JP says, why do they interchange thrust kick and super kick so much? Shelton did a super kick and a thrust kick back to back. Man in the mask confused me. Always super kicked for the Bucks. Are they protecting it for them? I mean, I think they kind of are interchangeable. I saw somebody last week say it's more of a thrust kick than a super kick. And I'm like,
isn't that
what are we, it's I don't the same thing.
It's basically it's the same thing.
The same thing.
Yeah.
I don't think they're protecting it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Alex, I saw a viral post, had like 700 retweets that said, could you imagine if we could parlay wrestling? Well, For years, you've seen BetOnline.ag's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline.ag. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline.ag. In the year, that, or not even a year that we've worked with them, we started, I believe, at the end of last year. 12 underdog lock picks out of 12 have hit. Wow. I made some money, my friends. I loved it last year at World's End when people were telling me, yeah, you paid for my New Year's drinks by telling me Samoa Joe would win because he was an underdog. Yeah. I love it. BetOnline.ag. Tim McFall says, hot damn, this BCC story is the best in the biz. I'm really liking this story.
Yeah.
He says, OC about to go dark, all dark night on Mox's ass. Kyle, by God, Fletcher is a star. Although I want to say he said by God, like bisexual God instead of by God. And I'm like, listen, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
The Fletcher. Listen, that's a great nickname for a bisexual wrestler. It is phenomenal.
It is.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yep.
The by God. It says the Fletchlights are going to go crazy for Buzzcut Kyle. Says, what the F are we doing with Jericho, though? Well, Tim, you spent a lot of money on this one, and I greatly appreciate you. I feel like the mood, the vibe, and the response to this show would be categorically different had Chris Jericho not won. Alex, last week I busted out the lotion. This week...
Hand sanitizer. Oh, wow. Wow. Feels dirty, doesn't it?
I just want to say it does. I just want to say this. I enjoyed the match. I thought the action was good. In fact, I think it's the best two back-to-back matches that Chris Jericho has had in a very long time. I think a big part of that is the ingredient he's in the ring with. Mark Briscoe is very motivated to have his biggest angle in AEW since he showed up there. And is working very, very hard. When Mark Briscoe won that first match, I said, oh, great. Now, I know what will happen, or I assume what will happen. Mark Briscoe will eventually beat Jericho for the title back, and then he'll be able to say, you got to let it play out. You got to let it play. It's happy ending, right? No. I remember when he once said, oh, I'll never beat Action Andretti. Like that was some like, see how much he benefits? He didn't benefit a damn bit. I'll talk about the things I liked. I thought the action was great. Jericho, especially at his age, taking some of the spots that he's taken, impressive. A hilarious spot was Mark Briscoe hitting his head on the title belt as he did the elbow drop off the ladder. I'm like, why didn't he just yank it down while he came down? Mm-hmm. And the Big Bill choke slam onto Mark Briscoe. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Sincerely, the most I've enjoyed Chris Jericho matches back-to-back in a very long time. Chris Jericho, as Meat Norman says, can he live on Honor Club, please? Listen, if he wants to show up on ROH and be on that show and all that stuff, then...
I mean...
Sure.
It would be the first ROH champion to show up most of the time on ROH under TK, you know?
I'll say this. Mark Briscoe has been defending the title there much more of late, and he told me that he wanted to defend it more on the show. Yeah, he had, what was it? He faced Matt Taven, and he did a Proving Grounds match against Josh Woods. And then he, I can't remember what else. Did he defend it again?
Mordos? Did he defend it against Mordos once?
Don't know. But I mean, just this month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we got Tom LaValle saying, Alex, what did you do during this ladder match? C. Delgado saying, condolences, Alex. The Vortex is too strong. Tony Miller says, canceled Honor Club. Jericho winning proves that TK doesn't care about it. Why should I? Ryan says, this is for Alex and the emotional damage he suffered watching Jericho win the ROH title tonight. Stay strong, big dog. We've got Meat Normus saying, actually, we'll get to that, but 2LT says the Jericho stuff is the worst. This match was way too long. Push Big Bill and Brian Keith. Stop making me watch Jericho wrestle. Dante says not a great show or crowd. They always have great pay-per-views, but the weekly shows leave a lot to be desired, and get Jericho off TV, please. JK Schwall says to balance out Alex's sourness about Jericho's existence, at least Damian Lillard is on his favorite basketball team.
Yeah.
That's not sour. That is very sweet for us.
Yeah.
So a lot of criticism about this, and I understand it. At this point, I don't need to see Jericho win the ROH title. Don't need to see him hold the ROH title. I, as of now, I don't have a belief that he is going to appear on ROH and help out our friends SP3. Well, help out. at least add the marquee value that supposedly we'd be attached to his name. And listen, I have ranted on and on for minutes and minutes and minutes.
Yeah.
It is Alex's turn.
I mean,
Rocky Romero got involved in this match and Tomohiro Ishii came out. Nobody cared.
Well, what they wanted to know was, like, did your flight from Japan land late, or where were you 5 minutes ago?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Here's the other thing about it is that we had a whole segment outside where all the lower mid carders were waiting for John Moxley. And we had Chuck Taylor, well, you mentioned it before, come out and say to Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly, hey, Mark's match is next. I want to let you guys know. And then he did his whole thing like, you need to be more of a leader to OC. As Kyle O'Reilly sprinted back, at least jogged back from the parking lot to backstage, presumably. Why? He didn't come out to help? Like, when Brian Keith came out, Rocky Romero was the guy who ran him off. When Big Bill came out, why wasn't Kyle O'Reilly there to at least try to counteract Big Bill? Kyle O'Reilly ran back from the parking lot so he could be backstage and watch Mark Briscoe lose a ladder war on a monitor? Like, why would you have him do that, come back from the parking lot to just not help? Mostly about this, because honestly, the Jericho thing, it's at this point, I'm numb to how bad all of it is. It's just bad. And it doesn't make me feel anything like anger or whatever. I'm sad for Kate, who loved ROH with her whole heart before the pandemic. And when it was bought by TK and they started up a whole thing, she was really excited. And like, this whole thing feels like, if you're going to have ROH, you're going to have people who spend almost all of their time on ROH TV. Then those are the people who should be getting the title matches, not Jericho just doing this thing where, like, I don't,
Alex,
maybe he will actually spend time on ROH on Honor Club. I feel like the writing's on the wall and he won't.
I have mentioned this a number of times in the past, like couple weeks, months. Black Label Pro is gone. Mission Pro Wrestling is on hiatus. But the most successful, consistent indie of the last 15 years is PWG, and it's on hiatus right now. There was something about PWG that an audience loved, right, and there was buzz for. There's a template there for ROH to do something. And if not that, Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling got an awful lot of buzz this past weekend.
They did get a lot of buzz.
Using the ROH champion.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like ROH, and I understand they want to film it while they have that convenience. Yeah. But I'm like, how much could it possibly cost for them to just run the globe in LA? Mm-hmm. If PWG was running it, why can't they? If TNA ran it, right. Why can't they? Find the Manhattan Center. Run the Manhattan Center.
Find a small venue and once a month tape 4 episodes and go around the country to places who don't get that kind of thing. Smaller cities that you don't take AEW to that will have a big enough arena that you could do this and see if you can get people to come in, especially if you're gonna put the title on Jericho. The only reason to do that at this point in his career is to try and sell tickets because he's a big name. If you're not gonna do that, then I don't even know what we're doing.
Somebody brought it up. I forgot about the globe closing. I am so glad I got to see a show there before it closed, but it looked great. ECW Arena is a thing. Go there. Do a small show. Do a ROH can be an hour long. And guess what? You can go to one of these places and run like a super indie show for 3 hours, tape 3 to 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, if you make it 45 minutes and then tape some backstage stuff, you can film 3 episodes of that stuff. It's just, it's not a hard concept to me, considering the roots of AEW are a lot of indie talent that really cut their teeth there.
Yeah.
Meet Normus says, with no exclusivity clause, when will we see Dark Elevation return? Folks can get reps and hopefully progress storyline. Honor Club needs help. I think that if anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
By the beginning of the year, we don't see Shockwave with a TV deal. I think we will see Dark make its reemergence happen. I think that we'll see them tape a couple episodes of that.
Yeah.
Chi-Town Spurs says, if you asked me, I'd rather see Jericho as champion in 2024 or get a paper cut between my fingers and have a long, hard think about which I'd choose. Yeah. Get in your super chats and humper chats, my friend. Tony Miller says the rise of OC, Hangman versus Bullet Club Gold, Camille Amanada, Garcia Private Party, Kyle and Shelton, all wonderful. Only one terrible segment, Jericho, in my humble opinion. I definitely think that dampened a lot of people's view of this show overall. I really do. Because like people were talking like this was some horrible episode, and I'm like, if this was a horrible episode, we're doing good.
It just it didn't feel like they were there were several squashes on here. Like it felt like they were setting up stuff for next week. And then in the middle, you had a very long ROH title ladder match where everybody hated the finish. Like that's gonna drag a lot of people's patience down. You know what I mean? For the rest of the episode.
Adam Cole comes out and he is interrupted by Undisputed Era, who said that they or the Undisputed Kingdom, rather, who say that they understand why he did what he did. And he doesn't have to justify being a jerk to MJF. MJF pops up. He is on a video screen because he is still filming his movies. Mm-hmm. And he's getting a massage, and he basically says, hey, I'm about to get a hand job. I won't be there until full gear.
Right. Well, he does say that. Part of this that was kind of funny was Adam Cole coming out last week and going like, Roddy, Matt, Mike, thanks guys for supporting me, but I got to do this on my own. 1 week later, Roddy says, I know you said you wanted to do it on your own, but I want to help you, and so do these guys. And Adam Cole goes, yeah, you're right. Let's do it together. And I feel like that's... You know what I mean? That's really not enough of an arm twist. Or like, I try to do this by myself, and MJF hired a bunch of guys to beat me up. Thank God I have my friends here who are willing to help me. Maybe you run that angle. But if a guy comes out and says, I'm going to do this on my own, and all it takes a following week is for a guy to go, can we help you? Yes. Like, I don't know how inspiring that is. But I appreciate Roddy being like, I want a piece of him too. I want to crack at him first. And then MJF says, hey, it's me doing my greatest hits. Whichever one of you gets three victories first can have me at full gear. And I like that stipulation. We already know who the first match that Adam has. What I would love to see is if it's possible, like if they all it says is three victories first, like could one of them take a loss but still end up with three victories before the other guy? Is that possible? There's stuff to be done because full gear's, you know, a month away. So you could do some stuff with it.
Welcome to our friend, Jesse the Buckeye, longtime friend. Buckeye. Love Jesse the Buckeye. And MJF, I believe, said three in a row.
Yeah. Oh, three in a row? Okay.
He's not going to. Three in a row. And he's not showing up until full gear, which... Yeah, I like it. Gives Adam Cole a little something to do, and boy, is he about to get something to do.
Yeah, he is.
And this is how I think a squash match really is appropriate for setting something up. House of Black defeated three jobbers, and then they handed the microphone to Buddy, and Buddy just says, now that he's cleared, I want Adam Cole. And it, you know, a lot of people are like, what's his issue with Adam Cole, of which Adam Cole is included. He comes up to Buddy backstage, face to face, and he goes, what's the deal? What's the issue? You got a problem with me? And Buddy says, I'm just going to prove that you're fragile. I like it. I like it. Buddy is, without saying, I should probably get the opportunities you're getting, he's saying, I'm going to take them.
Yeah. Yeah. Latter half of 2018 me is going absolutely crazy right now thinking of Adam Cole versus the former Buddy Murphy. Because those two were probably among my favorites in WWE at the time. I like this a lot. I like him saying, I'm gonna prove that you're fragile. And I also feel like there's an opportunity there for him to do just that, but for Adam Cole to like be cleared, but just barely for the next two matches that he's got to face because Buddy went after him. I like that a lot. And also, this is something from Jordan that I like a lot. The third match will probably be against each other. MJF saying, okay, you've each won two matches. Good for you. But now you got to fight each other.
Yeah.
The winner of that gets me. I like that a lot. The other thing that was interesting was Kyle O'Reilly ran from the parking lot to not help Mark Briscoe versus Chris Jericho. But in the following segment, we see him watching a monitor, watching Adam Cole reunite with Roddy and the other guys and Mike and Matt and Mike. And he's like, So like, if we get Kyle O'Reilly getting back together with his former Undisputed Era cohorts, maybe that's where this is going from there.
Lord Zypher says, wish they would have someone besides Buddy lose to Cole next week in his return match. Also got my Mania ticket today. Are you either of you planning on going? Would love to meet some of you in Vegas next year. I am planning on going to the being there earlier that week for media stuff. I have never stayed for a WrestleMania. It just makes more sense for me to cover it from here. But the flights are very weird to Las Vegas right now. So,
oh, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Don't know how that will work out right now. But I guess we'll see. I mean, obviously, it's a big media week for us. But
yeah,
we'll almost certainly figure out some sort of way to be on the scene. Alex, I know you're just foaming at the mouth to go.
Oh, I can't wait. There's been discussions, though, when they actually do their promised Indianapolis WrestleMania,
yeah,
of maybe going, because my sister-in-law lives, okay, in Indianapolis, so I could, yeah, just crash in one of her guest rooms. So there's the possibility of doing like a full Sour Graps meetup of getting Kate out there,
okay,
and doing that thing, whatever that's going to be, 2028 or February, whatever. No, we're not doing that. I can't swing it by then. But
he's hoping people forget about it
whenever they do the WrestleMania thing. We've talked about it. We'll do it.
Well, I don't have to fly to go check out my friends at Toy Vomit. You guys have probably heard me talk about them for years, also known as Toy HQ. They are moving on October 25th right now, or they are in their current location until then, but they're moving to 127 West Tiverton. Please check them out, guys. If you guys want to see a little bit of what they had to offer at their previous location, go check out Matt Cardona and Brian Myers' Major Wrestling Figure podcast, one of their top viewed videos. Nathan is the fella in the mask. They've got an incredible collection. In fact, on the Figure Hall episodes that I did for a couple of years, they were almost exclusively from Toy HQ, Toy Vomit. I also did a video with Ethan Page from there that Danhausen was in. I think Danhausen has also vlogged from there. And I actually asked Nathan, hey, you know, when I'm doing ad reads and telling people about this new location, what do you want me to say? And he just said, no clue on how to advertise other than harping on the fact that I buy bullshit every day for cash and have a 6,000 square foot store. And let me tell you, he does. If you've got wrestling figures, if you've got a collection you want to sell, they will buy it. They offer fair prices. I've sold some of my stuff there, but I bought an awful lot of stuff from there. I mean, I'm going to have to show off next week some of the things that I picked up from there. But like, I have recollected things from my youth. And man, it was so great for me during the pandemic to have them to go to. Check them out at Toy Vomit on Instagram and just see some of the incredible things that they have going on there. Great people, really, really happy for them and their new location. Please check them out at Toy Vomit. New Lack City says, the worst part of having to see Alex's favorite wrestler, Chris Jericho, winning the ROH title is the fact that Briscoe actually got a pretty good match out of that washed old man. SRS, please tell me this is something leading to an ROH TV show. I mean, that was the conspiracy theory the last time that Jericho,
yeah,
won the belt was, oh, well, this must mean a TV deal. No, well, they were on the internet.
Put it on True TV. Come on, do something with it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's yeah, just at least run it on Max.
Yeah. Yeah. Mariah May interview. So I was about to say, when we saw Mariah May with a roller bag, I'm like, why do these people come to the show? It happens so much. Like, what happens? But she goes, no, this isn't my stuff. She just throws it everywhere. And it's Anna Jayes who beat her, by the way. And I don't like, I'm not big on the title eliminator thing. I've never been big on it, but I'll tell you what else is funny. For all the shit Adam Pearce gets from being a GM and letting chaos ensue, I love that Christopher Daniels' way to calm things down is him stepping in between both and going, "Hey, hey, y'all gotta cut this shit out. Stop it. You gotta calm down." I'm like, yeah. Dude, chill out, bro. Like, cooler heads prevail.
Yeah.
He's not good at calming them down.
Yeah. I love the match between Anna Jay and Mariah May. I feel like they wanted to do a bunch of stuff with Mariah May after All In, and for whatever reason, with logistics, maybe an injury here or there, it couldn't happen. And so they're like, we're pivoting to other stuff. And the other stuff they're doing now, Anna Jay, who's gotten so much better over the years. Like,
yes,
and I'm really proud of her for sticking to it. Like, the stuff that she did in Japan has obviously, I love that she won, not with a roll up, but like with a pinning combination. Like, she actually had to get into a great leverage position to get it. Mariah May was not at all prepared for it and got pinned. And Mariah May then becomes this thing of like, now she's like, you don't belong in the same ring with me. She pinned you. So like, she's starting to like get delusional. And I'm interested in seeing how her, you know, she's obviously, I think, going to beat Anna Jay when the title is on the line. But then what do we do? Like, having Anna Jay get this victory over Mariah May when nobody else could helps her in the long run. And I think she's a future champion, just not right now, but this makes her special because she is somebody who got a pin on Mariah May. And then we'll see where we go with both of them.
Jamie Hayter calls out Penelope Ford. That match is made official for the Wednesday night war edition of Dynamite. That should be fun. Camille and Chris Statlander vignette followed by Camille defeating Queen Aminata. Queen Aminata is really good in the ring.
She's like, great. Talk about future champion.
The future champion.
She absolutely has it written all over her, man.
And she's doing great. And like, she right now
on the ropes, like, that was a really, really good match. That was worked great by both of them. Like, if you didn't know, there's zero chance Camille loses before she faces Chris Statlander.
Yes.
There were some really good near falls in this match.
And they have booked Camille really, really well. They haven't made her silent, you know, stern, big, like that we've seen over and over again. She's got a personality. Like, she is a very personable character as well. But they had her beat Queen Aminata. They had her crush a girl on Rampage earlier this month. They had her beat Robin Renegade. They had her win the 2-on-1 handicap match. She won the enhancement match as well. So it's like, okay, now she's done facing the tomato cans, and now she's facing somebody in Queen Aminata who has competed for some titles and all that. And it's like, oh, okay, well, now she faced the challenge. Here we go. But this is what I've been talking about. You develop people, give them wins, and then, assuming Chris Statlander beats Camille, then that means more. Also, listen, this isn't going to happen, but I also wouldn't hate if just plain out of the blue, Camille wins, and as Mercedes celebrates with her, Camille just turns right towards her and stares her down. That would also be very cool to me.
That's a little early in this pairing for me for that, but
I think I would like it, because a lot of people.
I think
that's, and plus the Renegade Twins have long been pushed as somebody that Mercedes wants. But true. Lord Peter says, can Sid, I mean Camille, powerbomb Sean, I mean Mercedes already, so we can get this program along. Says Camille's got titles to win. I mean, that is also a way that I think you can immediately establish Camille. I feel like I'd be okay either way, but man, Camille can deliver on a championship level. Like, we have seen her do that. She held the NWA women's title for a very long time.
Sure.
I mean, like, if you guys didn't see her match with Natalia Markova, it was really good. She had a couple really good ones. Taya Max the Impaler. Like, she had some really, really good matches over the course of like 2.5 years. Thunder Rosa was a really good one. She had one with Kylie and Chelsea that was really good. Like, she had some really great matches with, and honestly, with some workers that are not near what Mercedes can be.
Yeah,
so I would just love that as an out of left field
type of thing. The way that I've always hoped they might do that split is when Mercedes finally does lose the title, she blames Camille for it. Like, chews her out in the ring on the mic and slaps her in the face, and Camille just immediately turns on her. Like, you will not do that to me. And then you can do a grudge thing between the two of them where the title doesn't have to be on the line. And then when Camille beats Mercedes in that feud, then she comes after whoever is the champion who beat Mercedes. Like, yes, there's some stuff you could do there as well.
Now, what will happen is Chris Statlander is going to win. And
right, of course.
This conversation is just for vanity. Just, Statlander does come out after the match, of course.
I like this a lot with Mercedes trying a cheap shot from behind and Chris just completely no-selling the forearm to the back of the head. And then having to fight off both of them. That was a really cool moment too.
So everybody goes to jump the BCC outside because a lot of people, and I love this, the AEW roster is just chilling out there waiting on them. Why wouldn't they be?
No, it's absolutely. But the selection of fellas they have out there, particularly by the end of the night, does feel like that time where John Cena and Randy Orton came from SmackDown to face the Raw roster, and it was just not quite very impressive. There was a moment at the very end where they showed the last lineup, and there were two guys I did not recognize when I paused my TV. One of them, I believe, was Sean Dean. The other one was the Butcher in a red bandana, and I thought it was Nick Gage. I was like, what was this?
Yeah, because he shaved his head. Listen,
yeah.
I say keep the skullet. I think skullet. Yeah, that's when skullet, haircuts were men.
Yeah.
Like when I saw, when I think it was Denise was saying, oh, Braun Strowman's got the bald spot. He needs to let it go. I said, hell no.
Yeah.
Hell, listen, Alex, you know my affinity for John Tenta. Like to me, and I will repeat this.
Agreed.
When I was a little kid, every 350-pound balding man I saw in the grocery store, I believed they could fucking fight. I believe they could fight. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I will get out of your way as you're getting some beef stew.
Yeah.
Thanks for being polite and not kicking my ass about it.
Yeah.
It's the patriarchy, by the way. It's not the BCC at all.
No.
Honkin' Amazing says, he says, I like AEW, but feel bad for the guy characters who spent 2 hours mean mugging in a parking lot tonight.
They were. I mean, it would have been cool if we had seen them, like, you know, one guy went a Starbucks run. They're not here yet. You guys want anything? Or I'm going to go to McD's.
So they did. They did show up, and Hook realizes it was Christian who attacked his father. Not only attacked his father, made him get knee replacement surgery.
No. He attacked his knees. The dastardly villain, he attacked his knees. He tore out his knees, so they must have been replaced.
You just know that Christian, in his turtleneck, applied the filthiest heel hook. Like, had the grapevine around the legs and just...
He removed my father's knees. His knees must be replaced.
He went direct. He targeted the ACLs. Not easy to do. But he targeted the ACL, the MCL, the PCL. As Meat Normus says, kneecap Jones.
Yep.
But Kip Sabian effectively joins the patriarchy, which I felt like was coming last week. Christian says, I know why you did this. I know why you took the pen from me. I'll address that soon. Go sit in that corner.
he joins by hitting a low blow on Hook, who's come to the ring. He says to Rene Paquette, did you figure out who's the person? Like, he's in that ring. And I was like, well, it's Christian. Like, I think some people were hoping it was going to be some kind of swerve.
that it was going to be somebody we didn't think it was, but
sure,
it was always going to be Christian. I'm trying to remember. Do you remember who, when he was trying to sign the contract and then Kip Sabian came out and yoinked the pen away from him? Like, what was going on? Like, because I know why
it was the Danielson Nigel match, but I was there, and where we were seated, we could not, we did not see what happened.
Okay,
we were on the side, but yeah, that was right after the Danielson thing.
Danielson Nigel. Okay,
yeah, that brought up a good point because somebody on was talking about the crown jewel element, and they were like, "Well, couldn't Tiffany cash in during the crown jewel match, win both titles and the crown jewel?"
That's possible.
There you go.
Three title well,
If you're tired of getting low blowed by pay-per-view prices.
Oftentimes we talk about NordVPN.com/Fightful, and I'm telling you about one or two different features that they have. How about this? I'm going to tell you about a bunch of them. Threat protection, global server network, safe from disruptions with their kill switch feature. They have reliable encryption. They have the fastest VPN on the planet. A 30-day money-back guarantee. Great deals at all times. Incredible reviews online from some of the best publications in the world. And 24/7 support in case you don't know what you're doing or how to use it. They got you covered. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. Secure every device you own. Add extra layers of security to your digital life with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you're abroad, listen to your favorites. I know a lot of wrestling fans have been traveling a lot more with big events. NordVPN.com/Fightful will protect you.
Love NordVPN.com/Fightful. They've been with us for a very long time, and with a lot of people saying, where is whatever going? Listen, man, you can get, if you've got Netflix, you just apply NordVPN to it, sign in via your overseas service. You're going to have access to like everything WWE over there. So definitely worth that purchase. Daniel Garcia and Private Party defeated the Young Bucks and Jack Perry. I like this. We clearly saw momentum with Private Party. Mm-hmm. We are clearly seeing this charismatic explosion of Isaiah Cassidy on the microphone as well. He was the perfect person to deliver the promo afterward, which we will get to. I thought the match was good, and I have honestly found myself just falling out of interest with what the Young Bucks have been doing. And I've been pretty consistently interested in them for like a decade at this point. But tonight I was like, you know what? I'm into this story. Because afterwards, which we will get to the BCC element, because right now, after Private Party win, they want another tag title match. And the Young Bucks are like, why? We beat you. Fair and square. We won. It's us. We're the champs. And then Private Party did what naturally they would do. Isaiah Cassidy, without conferring with Mark Quinn, says, okay, next week. And if we don't win the tag titles, we will split up. Whew. Okay. That's got me interested in this match.
Yeah. Because I thought they were definitely doing it at Full Gear, New Jersey, close enough to Brooklyn, big time hometown-ish crowd of at least in the area, tri-state area, for Private Party to win them there. Doing it next week in Cleveland on a Halloween-themed episode seems less likely, and maybe that's the point, that we're supposed to have doubt that they would do it on a regular Dynamite. I think it, if I had to say, what are they going to do? Are they going to put the titles on Private Party finally after 5 years, or are they going to break them up? I think if those are the only two options, which apparently they are, I think they win the tag titles, but there's that Stokely thing that's going around. Like he wants Cassidy and only Cassidy. And people are saying he is the breakout guy of the two dudes. So honestly, they've given me enough questions in my brain to like not be like, well, they're obviously winning.
Like, I don't think they are. There was also a clip, I guess, of Stokely getting carried away by security or something in the background.
Yeah, he was there trying to get involved on the front row, and they carried him away.
We've got Ryan saying, feels like they stepped a million feuds into this episode. Feel like they need to hone in on BCC, Callis, and the impending Hurt Whatever, and Mercedes. Well, they did, but how many times have you heard the faux criticism be, they don't do stories? Well, and now they're doing a bunch of stories.
These things, these four things that he mentions, were honed in on today. Mm-hmm. But they also did a bunch of other stuff. And one of the big things is Adam Cole and MJF, which is being built for Full Gear. That also got a beginning of something there as well. There was some other stuff as well, but all those things were honed in on. They were just, you know, other things as well. And I don't think you can do an entire 2-hour show where those are the only five things they talk about.
Lupongi Vice is, what costumes do we think the Bucks will wear next week? Probably something topical. Probably something that alludes to a breakup. I would like it if they wore Rockers-inspired gear next week.
Yeah, it could be
there
good.
You go.
There you go.
Didn't SCU break up after losing to the Bucks? I guess technically they did. Mm-hmm. Guys, get your thumbs up in, get your super chats in. So after all this, we see Marina Shafir pull up. And Lord Peter says, props to Marina Shafir for not running over the mid-carders with the truck, as was undoubtedly her instinct.
I also love that she got out of the truck and I was like, oh, well, we're not allowed to hit a girl. And I wanted her to be like, yes, you can. Try me. And just her just taking out dudes with big fists and chokes and all that stuff by herself. That's what I wanted, but I don't get what I want sometimes.
So I like what they're setting up here, because BCC show up in the ring, and I am going to find out if that's what they're still called. Take out guys in the ring with chairs, and then some saves are attempted, but Chuck Taylor gets
dragged to the ring by Moxley.
Dragged to the ring by Moxley, and we've heard may never wrestle again. Well, I think now the story is going to be he's never wrestling again. And this is why. Like, maybe he had been preparing in secret. Nope, not so much.
Right.
Moxley stomps him out.
I liked that Wheeler was going to put it on his ankle to, like, re-injure the ankle. And Claudio's like, no, we're going to kill him. And we're putting this thing on his neck. We're going to do it. And the thing about it is that the reason I love this so much is that they're not just doing it to be cruel. Mox is trying to make Orange Cassidy into a guy with some fire under him. Not this dude's like, yeah, so what? I mean, I'm not really a leader. I'm not that guy. Like, he is doing this specifically so Orange Cassidy will get off his ass and fight him. That's the thing that Mox is doing this for. Mox being the dude who brings Chuck Taylor to the ring and throws him into the ring. That's a specific thing. I need you to be pissed enough to fight me with your whole heart, and then I'm going to put you down. Like, that's something that's really interesting, man.
Maddie Nice says, I love the Mox World Order era of AEW. Also love that OC is the reluctant hero everybody turns to save the day. OC dethrones Mox in the end. I know that some people were saying, oh, well, Darby. Listen, there is something with the Darby promos that don't quite click with me. I believe he is loyal and dedicated and puts his body on the line, but there's something there's almost something too chip on his shoulder-esque about his promos.
Right. That if you asked me before tonight who's dethroning Mox, I would say 100% Darby, because of the promo where Mox said to Darby's face, you're not ready to be champion. You're never going to be ready to be champion. He said it to his face. And to prove him wrong, Darby has to beat Moxley for the title. That's just storytelling. But after tonight, after you refuse to be the leader to stand up to us, so we are doing something that will motivate you to be that guy, that also becomes a thing where it's got to be Orange who does it after tonight, right? So I like that they've basically created two different kinds of heroes to lead the AEW faction against the evil John Moxley. I think that that's a good thing that there's two options there.
Chi-Town Spurs is very weird up episode. A couple of egregious, horrible decisions and not enough wrestling for the whole we're the best wrestle company. But the main event angle is one of the best stories they've ever done. Chi-Town Spurs, I sort of agree with you, but considering the fact that next week they are heading into a show where we're going to see Shelton versus Swerve, Young Bucks private party with major stakes, Camille versus Chris Statlander, Adam Cole versus Buddy Matthews, I think they did a really good job of setting up one of these big shows. I mean, as long as this isn't the habit, I'm like, I'm okay with it. Like the Jericho decision, like it's just such a groan.
It's a bridge episode with a terrible decision in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I can look at it as. I think if they're doing the story right, as we're building to like the last couple of weeks before Full Gear, we won't even remember this episode because they will have built from this episode into good things going forward.
And I think it's the fact that that bad decision or the decision that people didn't want took up such a
big chunk of time,
Big chunk of that show. And it's sandwiched between squash match. People can say, oh, well, there were these squashes and this bad decision. Yeah. I was completely fine with the squash matches. We saw a cool finish. Mm-hmm. We saw a match getting set up for next week.
Yeah.
And I didn't really dislike the ROH title match. I quite enjoyed it. It's just that decision. I go, this angle should have been specifically for Mark Briscoe to get over.
It was a nice metaphor, though, of basically Big Bill carrying Chris Jericho, which is what he has been doing.
And that should be the ultimate point of the learning tree.
Yeah, it should be. I want to point out, though, that I was really impressed with what they're doing with Orange Cassidy as an actor with this, of him coming out just too late to save Chuck and just kneeling by unconscious, maybe broken-necked Chuck Taylor, his best friend, the guy he used to live with when they couldn't afford not to have roommates. Like that being set up on the show and then following with him just kneeling next to him, catatonic, realizing it's his own fault this happened. Like you Spider-Man and Uncle Ben, man, it's perfect.
Much more urgent than Ishii as well. Vicky's he gave a shit slightly more.
Yeah, true.
Vicky, our good friend, hope you're feeling better, says, hey SRS, you know why Cash is coming. Tell the room no Osprey or Darby.
Yeah.
Will the good guys now turn bad to go after Mox? Well, I appreciate Christian. This is becoming tedious. Love Fightful. So there's a lot there. Yeah, no Osprey or Darby this week. And listen, Osprey needed a couple weeks off, and I think it's good that...
Yeah, it's good for the story with him and Kyle.
It's good for the story that he built up the Tiger Driver for so long. Osprey sold it more than Danielson did, because Danielson was on TV the next week. And I feel like it kind of undermined Osprey's whole... I can't do the Tiger Driver thing for so long. Right. Mm-hmm. But now Osprey's like, no, that messed me up. And Kyle Fletcher is saying, yeah, well, I'm just going to keep doing it to you. What I love is that Danielson and Osprey got over a finisher for somebody else.
Yeah.
That's pretty effective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And will the good guys turn bad to go after Mox? I like that it shows that Daniel Garcia is like, no, I really am as dedicated to AEW as I said I was. And Private Party are like, we're here. We've been here the whole time. And maybe we didn't take this as seriously as we should have, but we are now. And the Christian thing, I mean, that's the nature of the money in the bank type of story.
I also wonder if it's going to come down to everybody needs to pick a side.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of people who are just, you know, doing their own thing. You know, like Adam Cole's got his deal with MJF and his friends now, but like he's a nominal babyface. Why is he not being yelled at for not doing something? Like that would be interesting if everybody had to basically say, not that they have to get involved every time, but they've got to pick a side.
Tom LaValle says that fire ant is going to burn Mox. With that, guys, Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter for as long as that lasts. Also Blue Sky and Threads at Alex Sour Graps, all three of those places. I'll probably be moving on from the one I've been on forever eventually, but I'm on all three. And you can find me on Fife Select reviewing Raw on Mondays, SmackDown on Fridays. We have NXT
Halloween Havoc this Sunday, right here on this particular show.
It'll be Bound for Glory Saturday and and NXT Halloween Havoc Sunday.
Yeah, so come and check it out.
Guys, FightfulSelect.com is where you guys can go to see all my stuff. I am there on Discord every day answering questions. Until next time, guys, we're out.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.